Welcome to The Mind School, the classroom for your mind and soul, where we design our lives from the inside out. Here you will find a human-first approach to life, business, and relationships to create freedom, growth, and constant evolution through mindset, emotional intelligence, leadership, and connection to self. I'm your host, Brianna May, educator, CEO, mindset and business mentor, and my mission is to teach the things we were never taught at school so that no dream is left on the pillow and no purpose left unfulfilled. Here you can expect a lot of laughs and thought-provoking conversations as we squeeze every drop of juice from this beautiful, precious, crazy thing called life. Hello, welcome back to the Mind School Method and welcome to a new series which is called Coach Others. So in the last month, I ran a small series which was really about giving you tools, shifts, perspectives, and ways that you can be someone who can lead yourself and coach yourself through behaviors, patterns, and scenarios that are getting you in the way and stopping you from being who it is you want to be or achieving what it is you want to achieve. So we talked about how to become someone who can lead yourself through scenarios. And inadvertently, what that does is makes you a leader. Whether you mean to or not, when you're somebody who can sort of hold your own and hold yourself in adversity and be emotionally resilient and lead yourself to where it is you want to go, you naturally become a leader. And that's particularly important for people who are maybe established or aspiring coaches, people who work with other humans, whether you're an educator or a service provider or you work in a team or you lead a team or you work with colleagues, and not just professionally. You will become a leader in your personal life. Your friends will want to come to you for when they're having a tough day. Your partner will open up to you. You will be perceived as a leader and a safe space because you're a safe space first. So I want to make that clear before I dive into the Coaching Others series, because it's something to be aware of, to be coaching others if you're not first tidying up your side of the street. Sometimes there is a lot of ego that becomes involved in, oh my gosh, I've done so much personal development work, I'm so conscious, here's my dick swinging consciousness fucking hat. And then you get to just judge everyone else and feel like you get to comment and coach them. That can be a problem too. So first we want to coach ourselves, lead ourselves, tidy up ourselves side of the street. And when we do that, we become a leader. And naturally, people come to us because we're a safe space, because we're self-led. And then it's these people who do really well in management positions and do well as coaches, do well as leaders. And this is about tools and techniques that you can have in your toolkit if you are in that position. If that is where you naturally sit and like to be, if you are an established coach, if you're an aspiring coach, this series is going to be really helpful for you. And it very perfectly ties into the Mind School Method, which is my new coaching certification, which we spoke all about last week on the last episode of Recess. If you want to know more about this coaching certification, which is a one of a kind in the industry, you need to go listen to the last episode because we talk about it there. It is opening for enrollment literally today. And I don't actually know how many places will be available by the time you listen. So this might be redundant, but one of the tools, one of the modalities, and one of the core units inside of the Mind School Method is actually shadow work. So shadow work has been hugely transformational in my personal life and for my clients. I have been implementing and integrating shadow work for a couple years behind the scenes, and I've really gone deeper in it within the last 12 months and made a conscious and concerted effort to really add this modality to my coaching toolkit. Because as you know, if you've listened to this, I am extremely strong in mindset, in subconscious programming, in NLP, in all of that. And over the last few years, I wanted to add something deeper to do the emotional stuff, to do the central nervous stuff, to do the shame stuff, to do the other side of coaching that works more with the body, that works with trauma, that works with processing, that works with all of these incredible things, the inner child. And that's why the Mind School Method has both. It has both sides of the spectrum because you cannot use one in isolation. They are best used together. Now, today's episode, I am interviewing one of the absolute queens of shadow work, who is Caitlin Hosking. And I have got nothing but positive things to say about this incredible coach. This coach is somebody who fucking knows her shit, who has a skill set and a background and expertise that are just as big as her heart. She is so embodied and such a wealth of knowledge. And I actually had the privilege of being part of one of her certifications last year where we did shadow work alchemy and we really went deep. And I can't speak highly enough of this incredible human who runs incredible retreats, incredible certifications, who does incredible coaching with her clients and who can actually help and support other coaches to create their businesses and retreats. And I just can't speak highly enough. So in this conversation with Caitlin, we talk about shadow work. We talk about what it is and what it isn't. We talk about the coaching industry. We talk about her background and the things that helped her to build her business to where it is today. We talked about lots of different things. And what I will say is that if you are somebody who wants to be a coach, wants to support others, wants to understand others, and wants to understand yourself, I always say start with yourself, tidy up your side of the street first. Shadow work is one of the most transformational, incredible rabbit holes to go into. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It truly makes you a better human, a better coach, a better support person for everybody else. And it just makes you so fucking self-aware. It's next level. So I think you're going to really love this conversation with this incredible, incredible human. I will put all of her information in the show notes. Enjoy. Guys, I'm going to start today's episode with what I think is actually a magical universe manifestation synchronicity story, which I think is just the best. So I want to share it. So this guest who I am speaking to today is someone who I virtually met online, I think like back in June, maybe. I think it was around June of 2023, because I remember I was in Bali and I was balls deep in shadow work. I was studying shadow work. I was just in it. And then I came across this guest. And working with this guest inside of her shadow work certification, both of us many times were like, oh, wow, we're really similar, like really similar. And with that came both confronting things from a shadow work lens, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. And my thought of like, fuck, I'd be friends with this chick. Like, I wish we lived in the same state because we would be friends. Like, I feel that mainly just to eat Zambreros and maybe talk about our dogs. But I was like, wow, that's so interesting. Anyway, I came on Caitlin's podcast last week and I put it on my stories. And one of my ex-students DM'd me and was like, get out. That's my cousin's fiance. So I've messaged Caitlin and I've been like, oh, you know, one of my ex-students. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to her wedding next year in Perth. Same. So we are actually going to be, of all the places and all the events happening in Australia, we are actually going to the same fucking wedding. And you're not even from WA. And it's just, I actually thought that was the wildest thing. So I feel like the universe was like, here, you two, you need to actually meet in person. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm really excited to have this chat because you're just a wealth of knowledge. And I'm really, really happy to have you here.
Oh, this is so funny. I laughed so much when you sent me that message. And I was like, I literally got the save the date like 2 days before.
Same.
Like sitting on my fridge. And then you're like, yeah, I'm going to this wedding. I was like, oh, thank you, universe.
So cool.
Best.
Yes. And we were like, both of us were sort of going, but not really going to know anyone.
Yeah.
So how funny would it be if we just rocked up and like saw each other, but didn't know we were going? It's wild. Wild.
But thank you, universe. Now we know, and it's going to be so good because we can just like spend time. There's so many people at a wedding and most people just know each other and we can just hang out together and chat.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. So that's my little story because I just thought it was so cool. And I know a lot of people listening to this just love stories of synchronicities and like collecting evidence of magic everywhere. And I just choose to see this as an example of magic. So let's dive into all things shadow work. So before we go into the nitty-gritties of what it is and how it shows up and what it does to change people's lives, I'd really love to know, I guess, the deep backstory for you. So like you're obviously really deep in the shadow work world. Mm. I want to know what led you to it and was there any sort of like childhood instances, memories, any main pivotal moments in your life that you feel led you to exactly where you are now?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I had maybe a little bit more of an interesting upbringing than like what most people would probably expect from the work I do. And so I had a pretty normal childhood. My parents are still married. They were very loving. We had money. We had safety. We had security. I had a sister. She was fine. She was what she was. But I always had this sense of I don't belong. And it wasn't anything that my parents necessarily did or anything like that, but I just felt like I didn't belong in this world. I didn't think I belonged in my family. I honestly thought that I was adopted until I was like 15, and my mom told me about when she was about 15, and I was like, okay, I'm definitely not adopted. Like the same person. And yeah, so I kind of just was navigating life through this lens of I don't belong and I feel broken and I don't feel like I should be here for some reason. And so this led me to feeling very confused because, you know, I went to a public school. I would try to go to a private school and I felt like I belong even less here. And so I went back to public schooling and I had friends and, you know, I could see their households and what they were growing up with. And I was like, mine's still so stable. Like, why do I feel like this? And it's almost like I wanted to create the reason why I felt like that. And this is on reflection now. Like I didn't know this back then, but it's like, you know, I would started ending up in like these really toxic relationships. And my childhood best friend from when I was like 4 years old was quite manipulative, quite emotionally abusive, like passed down her family trauma almost onto me. And so I started to receive a lot of that messaging and then started to take that into my relationships growing up. So I was in these abusive relationships, like emotional abuse, a lot of control, all of that stuff. I was doing drugs from quite a young age. Very young, like I was taking ecstasy at school and going to class. Like, I don't know how I did. I had like headphones on with like, you know, this is 2000 sort of like banging music. And I'd be like writing my history notes and having classes. It was a wild time to be alive. I don't know how I managed it. But
but I teachers didn't notice.
I remember one day. So one day me and my friend went off school grounds to get high and we're like smoking dope. And so we came back and I had sunglasses on. And this is really creepy for a teacher to say this, but two, it's also kind of funny. So he comes up to me and he goes, "Caitlin, I haven't seen your beautiful eyes for some time. Like, can you take your sunglasses off and show me?" And I was like, fuck, like I know that I've got bloodshot eyes and I look cooked. And so I like take my sunglasses off and just look at like deadpan in the face. And he was like,
My gosh. And wow.
Like, yeah, so I was just running them out. I was very rebellious, really. And I just wanted to kind of prove that I was broken. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of went on until I was around 16, and then I decided, you know what, I need a fresh start. I'm going to move halfway across the world to Canada. And so I just asked my mom, "Hey, I want to move to Canada. Is that possible?" And then it was like I had to get good school grades and all this stuff. So I turned everything around, was like this good enough student, got all these recommendations from the teachers. I'm not sure how I managed that. Ended up halfway across the world thinking I'm not going to be doing drugs. I'm going to be away from those influences, blah, blah, blah. Fell into the same patterns, right? And it was Canada. Everyone smokes dope in Canada. Mm-hmm. So I was like, And I just kept this like train of relationships, people cheating, I'm cheating. Like, it's just a mess. Mm-hmm. And I ended up coming back to Australia a year later, skipped year 12 because I went to like a university bridging program and got into university because amongst all this, I was like, I want to be a psychologist. I knew that. So I went to uni, bridging thing, got into psychology, moved to Canberra, and ended up in probably what was the most traumatic relationship. And he was very, like, I remember I looked at a thing at this time, and it was like emotional abuse looks like, and it ticked every single box. And I didn't know about emotional abuse back then. I was like, oh my God. But I didn't know what to do. Like, I felt so unsafe. I didn't know how to, like, and I was so under his control that I couldn't do anything about it, really. And he would just tell me, like, he'll take my food away from me and tell me that, you know, I shouldn't eat like that and I'm fat and he'll never love me. And he would say, I'm not going to invite you out because we're going out the boys. And then literally I'd be standing there and he would invite another girl out with him and the boys. Mm. And would, like, I would be sobbing every single day at work, and everyone knew us because we both worked in the same place. So they knew that was happening. Mm. They didn't know what to do. Mm. Right? No one had the resource. It was like a bar. And that led me to going back on drugs. I was doing coke at this point, somehow passing university. And I moved back to Newcastle, where I'm from, and had a really fun summer, like had a carefree summer, ended up in this another relationship because he left me. So that other guy, he left me, moved back to Russia, said to me, I'm going to go find someone better than you. And I was like, okay. So I ended up in another relationship, and then he left me because he was like, you're too needy, you're too much, like you need to sort your life out, which fickle, okay, fickle.
Yeah.
And that led me to my rock bottom, and I was literally sitting and I wouldn't get out of bed. I wouldn't eat anything. I would just like live in the darkness. I was so depressed. I thought there's no point in living. I'm literally a worthless piece of shit. And then I was going to a wedding in France with my family, and I was like, I don't even want to go. I don't give a shit. I don't want to travel. I don't want to move. Like, why are you making me go? But I had to go. Also, for a trip, whatever. And so I got to the airport, and for some reason I was like, looked at this book and thought, I should read that. And so I picked up this book by Paulo Coelho, and it's not The Alchemist. And because everyone asks, yeah. it was another book. And yeah. I got on the plane, sat next to this really hot Portuguese guy. So the first leg of the trip, we just got drunk. And then he got off and went to Portugal, and I went off to France. But in the second leg, I read the entire book from cover to cover. And yeah. it was almost like looking into the future of, this is going to be my life if I do not change something. Yeah. And it also showed me I had choice. And so I started really getting to like personal development, and I was like, I'm going to better myself. I'm going to, you know, all of those things. It's a long story anyway, but like I kept bettering myself. I was reading like the Dalai Lama. I read every Paulo Coelho book. I was reading like just anything I could get my hands on. And, you know, I was going to the gym. I started eating. Well, I was eating healthy anyway because of my ex, but like I was like eating more and less on the anorexia side. And then I thought, like, I've sorted it all out. I'm good. Like, you know, I'm healthy. I'm going to the gym. I've got a job. You know, I'm good. I'm not the same version. And it was about 3 years, and I actually got in a relationship with that guy that left me that started this whole thing. So we got back together because someone told us we were kindred spirits or twin flames or something, and I believe them. So
yeah.
it was one of those situations. And that over time just got worse and worse and worse. And my eating was getting more restrictive, and I was training a lot and I was very lean, and I was going to uni again. So I studied nutrition, and I just was fucked. Like, I was so depressed. I thought I was back in that place of thinking I have nothing to live for, even though I've changed everything. And then I went to like this powerlifting seminar, and part of it was mindset. And I was like, I don't need that. I even went to a demartini thing back then. I was like, I don't need that. I don't need mindset. Like, look how much I've changed my life. And it was that mentor, who's still a very good friend of mine, who was basically asked me about my life and then just goes, how's that working for you? And I was like,
good question.
It's actually not working for me.
Yeah.
And then I started to deepen into the mindset space, but still from that place of like, I want to be good. I want to like tick all the boxes and have all the money and have all the things and be like this shiny epitome of societal expectations, and then I'll be worthy.
Yeah.
And I ticked all the boxes. Still being worthy. Still having a bad day. Still having a breakdown. Still self-sabotaging, going, what's going on? I've got all this mindset stuff and it's still not landing. Am I really this broken? So I was feeling a lot of shame, and then I picked up a book on shame, which was covertly a book on shadow work. And as I started to read that, I was like, light bulb, every light bulb went off, and I realized in that moment, I'm not broken. This is all a part of me, and it's my job to learn how to love this. It's my job to learn how to integrate this. And that propelled my business. It propelled my self-love. It propelled my relationships. It propelled every single area of my life till like where I am today, where it's like, I could be having a bad day. I could have like repeated a pattern. I could have done something that used to like break me. And I'm like, thank you, God, thank you for showing me this lesson. And I never, ever feel broken. Ugh. And that for me was everything.
That's so big. I have so many things I want to pull apart there. And I think what you said is so true. It's like, really, I think one of the key things that shadow work does is it dissolves people's shame. And it really allows people to look at patterns and look at parts of themselves with love, even the quote dark parts, even the parts that are quote not good. Mm. So before we sort of unpack that and really get into how shadow work can change people's lives, signs that you might need a bit of shadow work for people listening. What in your, and I've heard so many different definitions, and it's beautiful because it feels like every practitioner takes it through their own lens to a certain extent and has their own processes. Mm. In your perspective and from your definition, what the fuck is shadow work?
That's why I have a whole podcast on this. But I mean, I always explain it a little bit differently depending on whatever it is. But what's really coming through today is that it's when we're born, we just have this wholeness to us. Like children just have that wholeness and they just express whatever is there. And that's why we see little Timmy go and punch his sister in the face. But we'd never generally see that little Timmy punching a girl in the face when they're older, because it's so wrong in society to do that, which is fair. Okay, no one should be punching anyone. And so we have these innate impulses and we just follow them. We don't know right or wrong. We're just doing whatever feels right. Mm. And as we start to grow, our parents and our society and the messages we get start to create a fracture in the psyche and in the nervous system. And as this fracture is created, the ego is formed in here. The ego becomes that voice of right or wrong. And we internalize a lot of the voices we heard growing up. But the ego is also just the gatekeeper of like, this is how I get my needs met. And so if you are high achieving, don't speak unless spoken to, all of those messages, then you are good and you will get your needs met. Mm-hmm. Because every child has to have their needs met and they have to be met by adults because we're very reliant on that. And then it goes, these parts of you are bad. And if you show them, you will have love taken away from you. You won't have a sense of belonging. You will be punished in some way. You watched your sister get punished for that. So don't you do that. And you start to push it all the way away from you. And you, over time, literally forget that you were whole. You literally don't know most of the time that these parts exist. And even when we think about wholeness now, there's still so many of us out there being like, yeah, I get it, but I'm not that. And it's like, yes, you are. And it's our job to start to see that and bring that into awareness. So doing shadow work is, how do we create this? How do we repair this fracture in our psyche and start to bring what's called the persona? So there's the shadow, the ego, and the persona. Start to like realize that persona, who we're trying to be, who we think we should be, isn't necessarily truth. That's just what we've done to stay safe. Mm-hmm. And realizing that these parts actually aren't bad. We've just been taught that. And if we bring them into wholeness, we'll get more control of our behavior. We'll get more control of how we feel about ourselves, and then we'll feel better.
That was an awesome, I love it. And it's almost like, I don't know how to articulate it, but I feel like shadow work is really a completely different level of consciousness. Yeah. Like when you see the world through a shadow work lens, you're seeing everything through so many different lenses, and your judgments of others are actually a gateway for you to see yourself more. And that's why I feel like it makes you such a self-aware human. And then you follow it up with the integration work, with the healing work, and it dissolves so much of the quote triggers that are impacting your life and your reactivity. So from that lens, how would people know? I've just mentioned triggers, projections, judgments. How would people's judgments of others be an indicator of some shadow work for them to do internally?
How would their judgments of others?
If someone's getting triggered by someone else,
okay. Yeah.
What's going on from a shadow work lens?
So when we're being triggered by someone, and I just want to like always put this caveat, because sometimes people can go really fucking over the top here.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, but like someone's actually treating someone badly and they're like, I'm triggered by that and it must be a shadow. No, that person is triggering you because they're actually not being nice. And the shadow here is maybe your inability to set boundaries. Yeah. And so that's the piece there. And so I always want to say, like, look at know your values, know that people will trigger you when they treat you badly, and you should be triggered because it's telling you, alarm bells are going off. Hey, I'm unsafe right now. I need to move away from this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're being triggered because our partner left their socks on the ground, or someone is being loud and they're not harming you in any single way, that's telling us that they're pushing on something within us that we haven't integrated that makes us feel unsafe. Mm. And so it's not that it's a bad thing or anything. It's just like, oh, this person being loud, if I grew up in if I grew up in a really quiet household where I was told I had to be quiet all the time, someone being loud is going to make you feel unsafe because of the messaging. But if you grew up in an abusive household, when someone was yelling all the time and you associate that with punishment and pain, that's also going to trigger you into being quiet and small. And so what it's asking of you is to start to bring that out and go, not that you have to have their expression of being loud or whatever it is that you're judging in them, but go, well, where am I keeping myself really quiet? Where am I not using my voice? Where am I not expressing myself? And then as you start to bring that back, you'll not be so bothered by the person who is being loud, who's being the center of attention, who's whatever it is, because you'll be like, oh, that's so fine. Like, it's just like that charge is just taken out of it because you see how that was a reflection of yourself. Now you've encoded safety into your system around it, and then you're all good.
So good. And so that's really looking at more of the dark shadows, the parts of you that are feeling really frustrated, really angry, really activated in that way. What about when you're looking at someone through the lens of complete admiration? You've got them up on a pedestal. You're like, oh my God, this person is incredible. I love them. I want to be like them. What would you say there could be going on underneath the surface, again, from that shadow lens?
Yeah. So when it comes to shadow work, we have, and most people associate it, as you said, like that dark piece. And it's like selfish, rude, obnoxious, loud, like those sorts of words that when we look from a societal umbrella are bad or wrong.
Yeah.
Especially in a Western society. Like if you just look at how Western society works, you will see all of the
shadows.
Yeah. You'll see them. Yeah. But we also have this golden shadow, and this is where we've actually suppressed our power. And we're seeing that power in someone else as a mirror. And so this happens a lot when someone gets into a new relationship and they just think that person is God's gift to earth. And they're like, oh my God, they have so much creativity and so much love and so much this, and they're so smart. And they're like, you'll just see it come out so big, and it actually blinds them from seeing any of the like bad or negative things about that person. And over the 3 to 4 months, those other parts start to come out and we see them and we go, you're not who I thought you were. And they're like, oh no, I was always the same person, right? Like, and when we start to see that, then we start to get pushed on. And so when it comes to even the coaching space, we see it all the time. Like your clients probably have done it, mine have done it. People doing it online to other coaches, they're seeing them being like, this person's larger in life. This person is like God to me, and they could do no wrong, even when you're like, clearly, sometimes they're not doing the best by their people. And so when we're doing that, all we're doing is projecting our power onto them. And for women, for example, let's just say confidence. Most women don't feel confident. They'll be like, I struggle with confidence. And there's a lot of traits to unpack around that, but we're just like an umbrella. And then they'll look at someone who's showing up online and using their voice and all that, and they'll be like, wow, she's just so confident. If only I was like that. And that break of like, I'm not that, allows them to stay in their story, allows them to not have to push on those things that are going to feel unsafe for them to be confident. What happens if I get rejected? What happens if I get abandoned? What happens if my family doesn't love me, or my friends leave me, or I change too much, or whatever it is? And so we're tapping into that sense of belonging, and we move away from that confident person just enough that we still see them so we can still experience a bit of it, but not enough that we have to go, oh, that is actually me as well.
So cool. And I love how you touched on something that I've noticed, which, like you said, is so important to point out, that it's important we don't look at every single thing and go, oh, that's a mirror, or like, that's just a you thing, or that's it. Because what it can do is create almost like gaslighty behavior where it's like, oh, well, if I triggered you, that's obviously a you thing. And it's almost used for some, or it could be used as a permission slip for people to behave badly. And I would love to know, like, from your perspective, how do you discern what's yours? Like, what is your shadow work to do and what's somebody else's?
Yeah, it's a great question. And something I've had to journey a lot, because I, especially women tend to take over responsibility. That's generally the pattern. And until they get into personal development and then they get really deep into it, and then they can start to shift out of that. And they're like, I've got boundaries, I've got this thing. So now it's your shit. I can't possibly be the problem. So depending on where you're sitting, it's going to be a little bit different. But let's just start with self-gaslighting, because that generally tends to happen, especially like in a relationship. So if you're looking at someone and you're helping them and they're trying to understand their relationship dynamics and the shadows coming out and the projection, all of that, they'll be like, well, my partner triggered me because of this. And their partner might actually be behaving badly, but they're like, oh, it's my trigger. So I have to integrate it. I have to do the work. It's always my fault. And especially if they're in a dynamic where the partner actually tells them it's always their fault, that starts to play out. And what you'll notice with someone like this, it's really easy to spot in relationships, is if you ask them, has your partner taken any responsibility here? And if the answer is no, then they need to start looking at that differently.
Yeah.
Right. And then for the person who's like, it's all your fault, where am I not taking responsibility? Is it really always their fault? If it was always their fault, would this pattern still be playing out? What can I do differently here? How can I help create a relationship with this person where both of us are actually stepping in to that responsibility? Am I expecting them to change before I can change? So if you start asking yourself these questions, you'll start to really discern what's mine, what's theirs. And when I had to journey this, I journeyed this in a friendship as well. So I was the open responsibility person. I was doing so much shadow work. Like, I was like, it's my money shit. It's this. And I did it and I did it and I did it and I did it. And as soon as that person exited my life, I was like, oh. It's actually not coming up anymore at all. I actually feel so fine. And so that was when I really started to get into the piece of, where are we taking over responsibility? And if we keep trying to change something and it's not shifting the dynamic or anything, and that person's still blaming you, ciao.
Quickly interrupting this episode to let you know that my signature program, Level Up Your Life, is open. If you are frustrated that you're not where you want to be, if doubt and fear just always gets the best of you, if you're ready to go from same shit, different day to jumping out of bed with passion and purpose, if you're sick to death of getting in your own way and just want the practical tools to back yourself and rewire your subconscious mind to get exactly what you want out of life, it is time to join us. This is the program which has transformed hundreds of lives. And if you are ready to transform yours, join us with the link in the show notes. Now back to the episode.
So interesting, hey. Like, and I do find, especially for all the people listening who probably do a lot of personal development work, they're always working on themselves. Yeah. There tends to be, and it's amazing, radical responsibility, right? Like, we talk about it all the time, like all the time. And then there becomes a point where over responsibility is actually just, it's no longer serving us. So I think, again, like, when you're seeing things from a shadow work lens, it's like you're always looking for that fine line where a strength can become a weakness and where a weakness can actually be a strength. It's like you're seeing things from multiple angles and lenses, so you're able to prevent behavior that is taking you further away from what it is you want. That's what I've found. So could you just give, for like listeners who are like, okay, I want to put this into practical kind of real life examples. Can you give an example of either yourself or from a client where there was a behavior or a shadow that was kind of running the show, and after going through a shadow work process or after doing a bit of healing and integration, there was a shift? So like, how can this practically play out in someone's life when the shadow is really running the show?
Okay, so let's go binge eating, because I feel like it's a very common one, and it's not about the behavior. It's about what's actually underlying that behavior.
Yeah.
So I had this client a few years ago, and she wanted to lose weight so badly, and she would go on all these diets and do all this crazy shit, like Isogenics, whatever all those shakes are, like every single one, but she'd always end up the same weight. And she was so like, why is this happening? Like, I want it consciously. I want it, but it's not happening. So what is that piece? And as we started to dig into the psyche and around this thing, she had actually created a shadow around skinny. And she had pushed it so far away from her and her sense of identity and her sense of safety. And she identified as being bigger, as being safe. And like, if I'm bigger, I'm safe. Everyone associates me with being like kind and sort of fluffy and like that big bear mother energy. I associate skinny with my mother. And my mother was skinny as a rake, and she was horrible to me, and she was horrible to everyone, and no one liked her. And so she's constantly pushing on this shadow every time she tries to lose weight. And she's like, no one's going to like me. Everyone's going to think I'm a bad person. Blah, blah. Like, so that's playing out unconsciously, stopping her from actually being able to lose the weight long term. So as we started to work with this shadow around being thin or skinny or whatever it was we called it, it was allowed it to integrate and her to start to feel safe in that and realize like there is plenty of people, all shapes, all sizes, all colors, who can be really great people, or they can be total cunts. And it has nothing to do with their shape, their color, their size. It has to do with whatever's going on for them. And we actually get to choose how we are in any shape, size, or body that we're in. And so as she started to go, well, what does that look like for me? The weight started to come off. She stopped binge eating. She stopped needing all of these shakes and diets and all of that stuff, because it was effortless, because she wasn't fighting herself anymore.
So beautiful. I love that example. And I want to like switch gears a little bit and start to have a conversation around the coaching industry, your coaching business. And I would love to know, like following on that vein, how has or how can you see that in the coaching space, or maybe even in your business, how sometimes, again, the shadow can be running the behavior? So this could be a huge conversation, but I'm really interested to hear what you see sort of happening from a shadow lens inside of the coaching industry.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can play out in so many different ways. And I would say, like, my biggest journey with shadow is in my coaching business. It's where I've had to do the most work. Like, yes, I've had to do it in my relationship, but the amount of work I have had to do around being a facilitator, being a space holder, my imposter syndrome, my golden projection onto coaches around me that they're better than me, I'm somehow inferior, money stuff, like the rich wound, guilt.
Yes.
It's like anything you want to touch on. Like, if you just want to have a whole spiritual journey without having to do ayahuasca or plant medicine or anything, just fucking start a business.
100%. Yeah.
And so for me, like when I started, I was really hooked into other people and that they knew more than me and I didn't know enough. And my imposter syndrome was so big. And the problem with that is that, one, I got lost in a sea of looking like everyone else. And so my business didn't go very far. I couldn't listen to my intuition and what was right for me. So I built a business not out of my values, but out of what I think I should do. And I was doing weight loss back then and hated it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to promote weight loss. Like, yes, I believe that, you know, if you want that goal, that's perfect. But it's not like promoting it a lot of times, like if you lose weight, then you are worthy. And I was like, that's not what I'm seeing play out. I see the weight loss comes when you see that you are worthy exactly as you are.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah.
And so all of my values were out of whack. All of my imposter syndrome was like fucked. I was projecting all my money shit onto people who were making a lot of money. And I was like, you're bad. You're money hungry. You're this, you're that, like so much. Like, you were struggling with fucking money.
Yeah, so interesting.
And so my biggest one around money was that making money is selfish.
Yeah. And
it comes into that, like, I guess what we see, right, a lot of people in the world who hold a lot of money hold it and they don't give back.
Mm.
And it does, you know, there's some shady shit happening. But for me, I was going, you're selfish, you're selfish, you're selfish. Like, I'm not selfish. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not that, because I'm a good person, because I'm not making all this money and I'm not harming other people. Look how good I am. So I started to look at that shadow there of selfish, yes, and ask myself, how am I being selfish right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I got steamrolled by myself. I was like,
yeah, I've done this before with the selfish thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is brilliant. I am selfish and I can own it too.
Yeah. And so I saw, like, me keeping myself small, not having enough money, constantly kind of getting rid of it. I was actually turning in, like, I was being really manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try to manipulate, like, my partner, my mom, anyone who's around me. I was like, you pay for dinner, you get this, you get that. And I could feel it in my body that I was trying to get them to pay because I didn't want to let go of my money because I was afraid that I couldn't get any more back.
Yes.
And so I was like, me not having money is actually selfish because I'm not giving the way that I want to.
Yes.
And that was when this kind of major breakthrough happened for me, where it's so obvious, but, you know, when it actually lands, you're like, now I get it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about water and I was like, because I was doing this meditation around, like, money and water and all this stuff. And I was thinking about water and I was like, water can be seen as, like, life force. It can rehydrate you when you're thirsty. It can save lives. All, like, we need water. Water can also be used to drown someone.
Yes.
And it's not about the water. It's about whose hands it in. And we actually get to determine what we do with that resource. It's just a resource of God. It's just a resource of the universe.
Mm.
And so I go, well, who do I want to be with money?
Yes.
How can I use it if I received it? And that's the relationship I've constantly been working on and looking at people who do good in this world with their money as well, and just making those decisions from that place of, the more money I have, the more giving I can be. And that's actually in alignment with who I am.
Oh, that's so brilliant. And I reckon there'll be so many people, especially with businesses, who can see this playing out, you know, or I don't want to be salesy because then I'd be perceived a certain way, et cetera, et cetera. One of the ones that I really want to touch on too, because you mentioned, like, oh no, I'm good. Like, I'm not selfish. I'm not blah, blah, blah. One that I find so interesting when you really dissect this behavior from a shadow lens, people pleasing. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it probably in the coaching space. This is slightly different, but in the coaching space, one of the things that I've observed, and I'm sure you have too, is people come into it, but they want to be the savior. Like, they need to be the savior. They need to come in and save everybody. And that actually can be really debilitating as a coach and really unhealthy because it perpetuates codependency. And so that's one part that I think is just, I wanted to add to what I saw about what you said about the money thing. But secondly, people pleasing. And I've seen people with businesses who want to keep their clients happy, who want to keep every Tom, Dick and Harry happy, who want to be perceived perfectly. And there's people pleasing playing out, not just in their business, like, the business is a great mirror for everywhere else usually. But what's going on with people pleasing, really?
At the root of it?
Yep.
We just want to belong.
Mm.
And people pleasing is that part of us that's the persona, right? It's how we've learned to receive love and validation and a sense of belonging.
Mm.
And so if we're going, and you know, a lot of the conditioning around women is, you've got to help everyone else, you know, put yourself last sort of thing. And so you've got these people who, like, are coming to you for help and you're like, I've got to help them, because if I don't help them, my encoding is that I'm a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to sacrifice myself.
Mm.
Whatever they want, I'll do. And you'll see that play out in your relationships all around. Like, someone calls you and you're busy, you drop the, you're like, cool, I'm going to drop what I'm doing, I'm going to come help.
Yep.
You're constantly calling your friends, you're overstepping your boundaries in every area of your life. And it's what I call helicopter coaching.
Yeah.
And it's something I had to traverse as well, because I was like, always, like, it's fucking 11 o'clock at night. I'm messaging my clients and I'm like, are you okay? Do you need me? I'll get on the phone.
Mm.
And I saw that was so harmful because one, they're not being taught self-reliance and self-led, and they're not being mirrored back that, hey, you actually have got yourself.
Yeah, you can
and
do
that's
this.
Our job. Actually, yes. Coaches is to show someone, you know how to lead yourself. I'm just mirroring that back to you until you believe it, basically.
Amen. That's so powerful. So, so powerful. And I would love to know, so obviously you've gone through heaps of breakthroughs and like the money thing was huge for you, all of the things that you transcended with shadow work. You're in a place now, and I've been following your journey for the last year, and it's so cool to witness. You're in a place now where your business is, you've got your retreats, you've got your shadow alchemy certification, you've got clients, you've done really well, you've hit multi-six figures. I would love to know, how have you, for anyone who's listening and who is aspiring to be a coach, wants to be a coach, is growing their coaching business, how did shadow work help to quantum leap you?
So as I said it like a bit ago, whenever it was, I was stuck in this paradigm of basically people pleasing, doing what everyone I thought, doing everything I thought everyone else wanted me to do. So it was that I was taught, sell them what they want, give them what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm selling them weight loss and I'm giving them mindset. Mm-hmm. And to me, that always felt fucked. Like mm-hmm. to me, that felt ingenuine. It felt like manipulation. It felt like lying. But mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, my business won't take off unless I do this thing exactly yeah. how they told me. And then I started to break that down. And this is kind of before the shadow work era, but I just went, fuck it, I'm not doing it. It doesn't feel good. And I'm just gonna follow what I want to do and stop talking about nutrition, stop talking mm-hmm. about training, stop talking about weight loss. And I'm just going to talk about the emotional part.
Mm-hmm.
That's what lights me up. I love talking about emotions and human behavior. And so I started to follow that.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I followed that, the more my business took off. Yes. Even though I wasn't doing what everyone said, and I have this memory of sitting in a room, it was like a business seminar thing. There were 60 other business owners, women in this room. And at this point, my niche was self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my hand up and I said, hey, my niche is self-sabotage. Is that something that, you know, you think is good? Okay. Like I'm still kind of looking for the validation here.
Yeah.
And every single woman in that room said, no. I don't like it. I wouldn't sign up for it. I wouldn't do it. And I was like, that's a lot. Mm. But I went home and I sat with it and I said, do I want to change this? In my heart of hearts, does it feel right to change? No. Great. I'm going to keep going.
Mm.
And I just kept going with that until eventually self-sabotage actually turned into shadow work coaching.
Yeah.
And so it was been these points of meeting myself in that people pleaser, in that needing validation from others, in listening to what other people think is right or wrong and unwinding that and going, it actually doesn't matter what the world says. It actually doesn't matter what people think is right or wrong because it's always changing, right? And what matters for us is our passion and what lights us up. And so if talking about weight loss, like every time I talked about it, I felt shame, I felt guilt, I felt disgusting. I was like, I don't want to talk about it. So I'm not showing up on social media. I'm not building programs. I'm not selling. I'm not doing anything. Like I'll get on the phone with people and basically not sell them because I was like, I don't actually want this.
Energetics was off.
Mm. But then when I started talking about the things that light me up and, you know, even though I was talking a lot, I talk a lot to pain points, like probably more than most people. But for me, that was so important because when someone started talking about my pain points, I stopped feeling alone. Mm. I was like, someone actually understands me. Someone knows where I'm at. And so I don't see it as manipulative. I don't see it as bad. I see it as I understand you and I see you and I know how to change this. I know how to solve this for you. So I've just kept following that. And I talk about what I love. I talk about what excites me. You can see, like, I'm like, excited about it. And that's what quantum leaped my business.
Mm-hmm.
I did what I wanted. I followed my heart. I created things that I knew were fucking so important in this world rather than I thought what people wanted.
Yes. That is so good. And I think it's that piece of personal power and authenticity. Letting that be the guiding thing and letting the energetics, I think, first and then the strategy, because all the strategies can work, but not if the energy's not behind it. And so you got your energy right. You started, and of course, doing that, speaking with authenticity, speaking from a place of your truth, that actually takes courage. That takes a lot of pushing your edges. That takes a lot of transcending your people pleasing. That takes a lot of owning your bigness. And you need to have the toolkit, I find, as a coach to be able to walk yourself through that, to be able to coach yourself through that so that you can be the embodiment of what you're trying to help other coaches do. So obviously you had that skill set, you had the mindset work, you had the shadow work behind you, and then you got your clients' results, which is the other piece. Like you could coach yourself and then have the techniques and the skill sets to actually give clients transformation. Yeah. So if we were to look inside of your coaching toolkit, what would people find? Like, what is that extra piece of like you actually get results?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because when I first started, I was very much just in the mindset piece and I was seeing results here and there, but they were so slow. I was like, oh my God, this is so slow. And look, everyone has different nervous systems. Everyone has different window of tolerance, everyone, whatever, but it was like across the board. And I was like, there has to be something deeper here. It's not just the mindset piece that's helping, but they're still running the same pattern. They're still saying, I want this, but I'm self-sabotaging. And so my journey into why was I self-sabotaging and into deepening into that shadow work and cleaning that up for myself, I was like, it's not just the mind. It was how my nervous system was wired. It was what shadows were playing out and how I responded in my body and in my actions to those shadows. And so I started to coach myself in all these different ways. I was using more embodiment. I was actually like not just reframing a shadow, because it's like you reframe something, you see the gift, you do all of those things and your brain's like, bullshit, bullshit. It still feels unsafe. I still don't feel okay.
Yeah.
And so when I took that into the body and I started meeting these shadows in my body and where they were living and all of that. And I started to move that through my nervous system and actually create a new nervous system response around it. It just became easy. I was just like, I'll set a boundary. I'll have a hard conversation. I'll show up when I'm fucking, you know, I still get scared, but I can just hold it. And I have such a big capacity for holding because my nervous system is so well regulated now that extra little bits of stress or fear and all of that, like it's just not really full anymore. And it's like, you know, someone says, oh, Caitlin, you don't know enough. I'm like, great. Tell me what I don't know. Cool. I'm curious, right? I'm curious about that. And that lens of curiosity, both around what's going on in our body and what someone else is saying to us, is the most important piece, then moving it through, actually moving it, which is so weird for people. And they're like, I don't want to move my body. I don't want to be in my body. I don't like, that doesn't seem normal, but that, hands down, like visualization process into the body, move the body to create, get the reframe. That's my whole process. I created it with myself and then that's what I teach my certification.
Yeah.
And I have seen like all of my clients quantum leaped. I see people for 4 days in my retreats and they quantum leap their life, leaving that because everything has shifted for them. And I was like, more people need this process. More people need to understand that it's not just the mind. Right? We are one being. Our head is not fucking floating around without our body. Like we are connected. Yes. Our mind and body is connected. We have to start seeing it through that lens because the trauma, the wiring, what we've been taught is bad, isn't a thought. It's a feeling.
Yes. Oh, amen. I got goosebumps. You're speaking my language. I feel like what you do so beautifully, and we spoke about this a while ago, or the way I see it is almost like there's a polarity of coaching tools. And it's almost like you've got the mind, the masculine, the action, the reframe, the mindset, the NLP, like all of those real, I would say masculine sort of modalities, which are fucking beautiful on one end of the spectrum. And then on the other end of the spectrum is the emotional, the feeling, the like, and I guess emotional intelligence even comes into there, but the embodiment and all of that beautiful work that you've been teaching for so long now to get people in their body. And when you marry them instead of create a pole where one's better than the other, it's like you can quantum leap everything because you've got these two incredible tools that work together even stronger. Well, that's what I've found.
Yeah. And it's like if we go, because you use masculine, if we go back to the original teachings of masculine, feminine, it wasn't, yes, there's a polarity between them, but Shiva Shakti are married. They actually work together as the gods.
Yes.
And that is what we need to remember, even in coaching, is like it works together.
Yes.
We bring it together. That's when we can quantum leap. That's when we can excel ourselves. That's when we can do all of these things. Because the mind is, it is like, look, you need the mind because if you're sitting there, it's not going to work. It's bullshit. This is stupid. It's not going to work.
Oh,
the mind is actually that powerful. And that's the placebo effect or the nocebo effect. That's very well studied. And, but it's like, once you have the mind and the safety, and that's why I love the science side of this is that I'm a sciencey person. And so I help me understand. As soon as I understand something, I feel safe and I'll drop it.
Yes.
Same. But we bring that in to create that level of safety because that's where most of us are living. And then as we bring the body in and we move some of that shame around feeling emotional, around being angry, around all of that, you'll just feel like the reason my retreat's called Ignite is because you feel like you've ignited that fire back.
Yeah. You're
like it felt like it was really dwindling. It was just an ember, but it's like, you'll get your fire back. You'll be like, I'm fucking on top of the world. I know my shit. Like I feel good, but without that embodiment piece, like it's such a fuck around because you're just you're trying to convince yourself. It takes years of work. Like, you know, just repeating things over and over. Like, yes, it works, but you also don't get into like your conditioning, you don't get into your trauma, you don't get into like these pieces healing that will allow you to be present in your life as well. Like a lot of the time that mindset piece is so based in success. How can I have more? And what we don't realize is that that is still feeding into your conditioning. You're still feeding into society. If I have more and somehow more worthy, but then we're missing out on that feeling that we're trying to create more to have, that peace, that calm, that serenity, that happiness, that joy, that flow. Like that's what we're trying to get from more. And it doesn't exist there.
Yes.
Don't have it now. It doesn't, it's not a, there's no, it's not like $1 million. Good job. Here's your calm, your happiness. No, you'll still feel just as fucked. You'll probably resent it. And you'll probably have a massive existential crisis because you realize the money, the relationship, the weight loss, none of it solved what was happening in your body. And you can solve that now and then create those things and it will feel fucking beautiful.
Mic drop. That was the mic drop moment. That was beautiful. I just love it so much. I love you. I love you, what you stand for and the way you've integrated such beautiful modalities into what it is now. So if anyone listening wants to know more about the work you do, wants to come to your retreats, wants to do some shadow work, wants to do the certification, where can they find you?
So it's easiest just to find me at my main page, which is complete_by Caitlin. And then I have two offshoot pages of that. So I have the Shadow Alchemy Coaching Academy, and then I have the Shadow Alchemy Retreats. Perfect. So my process is called Shadow Alchemy, hence why everything's called that. But I generally will put it all on my main page anyway. And then if you're like, oh, I really like the content coming from either of those pages, or you're specifically like, I want retreats and I want to do this work for myself, or I want to learn this work for my clients. And also you have to embody it. That's a big part of my, all of my processes, is that you doing this work as well and being guided through it. And I also have a podcast called Shadow Work, What the Fuck, WTF. So if you just want to learn and you just want to like get it in your ears, there are so many episodes. And the way that I generally do that is like behaviors. So I look at like an episode on people pleasing, an episode on binge eating, an episode on, you know, those things, and unpacking that from a shadow lens. So if you're looking for that, then do that. If you want to get to know me more, just reach out on social media, send me a DM, say hi. I'm very friendly, even though sometimes people think I come off stern and blunt, but I am very friendly.
It can't be both.
Rising, it's not my fault.
Amazing. I will put all of that in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here, and I will see you at the wedding.
I know. Amazing. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Bye. Thank you for tuning in to the Mind School podcast. It is a massive intention of mine to continue to grow this show, because the more the show grows, the better the guests get. And I know that is going to be so powerful for you listening. So if I could ask this massive favor, it would mean the world if you could please leave a review, hit the follow button, or leave a rating on Spotify so that we can continue to grow this show and bring you the juiciest, most thought-provoking and expansive conversations through incredible guests. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you next week.